Okay, if you have your Bibles open to chapter 16 of Proverbs, and I'm going to reread verses 17 and 18 because I think they have extra importance. Verse 17, the highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. So avoiding evil, and we doesn't take too much to see the evil that's all around us in the world today. And it has been here ever since the fall in the garden, but it just seems like a lot of the attitude of evil is surfacing itself and putting a lot of pressure on, I would say, the church to stand up against it. And so so that highway of the upright avoids evil. So as best we can, we avoid evil, recognize evil, and to push back from it, and to guard our lives. Verse 18, pride, and this is a phrase that has probably been repeated over and over again, maybe a post, post on a website, a sign somewhere, but I think it's worth heeding. Pride goes before the what? The fall, or the destruction, before destruction. And so pride, God doesn't like pride. Now we can be prideful in a good way to be supportive of those who are doing good things and look at it as, but the prideful nature we've got to be very cautious of because of what's before the fall. Pride goes before destruction or the fall. A haughty spirit before a fall. I guess that's the other phrase here, a haughty spirit. So I think that's so relevant when we, I guess, just look around at what's going on. How much destructive attitude there is. And a lot of that's based on pride. Do it our way. Do it like we want to see happen. And so I think those are two verses that maybe should be posted before us so that we have ready access to it. I've heard those verses several times, but I didn't know where they were. So it's kind of good to go through the Proverbs here and see some of these phrases that we should be memorizing or have on the tips of our tongues at times when we're challenged. So, all right, let's go on to verse 19, and we'll go through the rest of chapter 16, and I'll do it fairly steadily. Probably won't comment on everything totally, but if there's something that any of you want to bring up, please do. Verse 19, better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. So who do you choose to share with? And again, it's attacking that word pride or proud. Don't be so connected with the prideful attitude that you lose what God really wants us to be doing. We should have a lowly and contrite heart and spirit. So, verse 20, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. So there is reward for heeding instruction, God's instruction, I would put it, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Again, another pretty good axiom to carry with you. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. And can any of us trust in the Lord all the time? I'd say we're by nature fallen, sinful beings, but we should have that in planted in our brains. No matter what's going on in our lives, the difficulties we may be going through, always trust in the Lord. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. That's Yahweh. Verse 21, the wise in heart are called discerning. I think it's a gift from God. If you have good discernment, doing the right thing, God can bless you. The wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. So we can be beneficial to others and helpful to others if we're using a pleasant attitude and have words of instruction in a pleasant way to promote instruction. Verse 22, understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it. And you can just picture whatever fountain that comes to mind for you. You know, maybe you've seen some of the most beautiful fountains in the world. Or maybe it's just a little thing in your backyard or whatever, where there's a fountain that reminds you of that. Understanding is a fountain where water keeps flowing, fountain of life, to those who have it. And then the opposite, but folly brings punishment to fools. And so always remember that if we can't, I guess, do what we believe God is calling us to do, and we follow the ways of the world, a lot of folly can follow, and therefore it's punishment that God will perhaps inflict on us because to set us on the right path. Verse 23, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. You know, that's one of the things. Sometimes we speak before we think. And so thinking carefully before you speak, not to hold back words, but be sure it's what the Lord is wanting us to share with others. Sometimes we can be angry. Sometimes we can be upset about things. But we should always remember that a wise man's heart guides his mouth. And so only speak to promote instruction. Verse 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb. You can kind of picture the bee with the honeycomb, making the honeycomb. Words, sweet to the taste. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So there's a physical benefit from it. Verse 25, and I think this is a verse that is often repeated. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And you don't have to look very far in what's going on in the world around us. You can say politics, you can say whatever things we see going on. And it's the things that are not of God ultimately lead to death. And none of us are perfect, so we know we all face death every day. Potentially. So we need to be right with God. Verse 26, the laborer's appetite works for him, his hunger drives him on. So we have the natural appetite, we want to eat, feed our bodies and so forth, but also maybe the spiritual hunger as well. Verse 27, a scoundrel plots evil. Bad people plot evil things. And his speech is like a scorching fire to burn. And so we need to watch what we're listening to, what we're hearing, what we're absorbing, what we follow and potentially believe. And so don't follow the ways of the wicked in the world. Verse 28, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. And I think all of us probably have some experience in that. And so we need to be cautious on what we say and do. First man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A violent man, verse 29, a violent man entices his neighbor and leads him down a path that's not good. So it's important to stay away from those who may influence you to do the bad things, the wrong things. And so it's a word of warning. Verse 30, he who winks with his eye is plotting perversity. In other words, what's the wink? What's the wink all about? And that it may sometimes just be a playful thing, let's call it that, a wink of the eye. But if it becomes, well, let's try this, let's do this, and you know it isn't the right thing to do. So he who winks with his eyes plotting perversity. He who purses his lips is bent on evil. I never thought of that much before. Somebody that tightens their lips sometimes may be a sign of something. Bent on evil. So we need to, we got anybody in mind? Okay. Don't purse your lips. Okay, here's the next one. 31. Gray hair. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. There you go. It is attained by a righteous life. So don't dye your hair. let the gray show.
So your trouble starts falling out.
What about the falling out? Yeah. So that's an interesting word there. Verse 32. Better a patient man than a warrior. Don't just bolt into things and try to change things quickly. Be patient. Watch what's going on. Understand it. A man who controls his temper, than one who takes a city. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. I have to admit, confess to this, I've kind of grown up with a temper. I don't like to lose. Sports, I probably have reacted in ways I regret, but I kind of learned as I've grown, and you try to, hold your temper and not get too upset and angry and so forth with it. But it's a hard challenge, particularly when you have a personality that's kind of leads to that anyway. So that's a good word of wisdom, and it's kind of speaking back to me right here. Verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And if we can realize that the Lord is behind, in a sense, behind everything that we may experience. And so we need to be sure that we're recognizing that and then return to the Lord, particularly when we were tempted or choose to follow some things that we know, they're not pleasing to the Lord. And so get back to the things that we can know according to God's word that pleases the Lord. So anyway, that's chapter 16. We'll go on with chapter 17. And verse 1, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. In other words, it's better to have to eat something that's maybe not that pleasing to the taste or touch, and not have a feast, but better a dry crust with peace and quiet. So if we're seeking peace and quietness in our life, maybe we can be satisfied with less, rather than have always a house of feasting with strife. Brings a lot of argument and discomfort. Verse 2, a wise servant will rule over a disgraceful son. In other words, raising a son, raising a child, how they should go, sometimes in what we're talking about here, having a servant, somebody who helps in the family, to rule over that disrespectful, I guess I would call it, disrespectful son, and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers. And so the wise servant becomes like family and will share the inheritance with the brothers of the family. Verse 3, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold. In other words, what strengthens those? The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, as you would do for jewelry, but the Lord tests the heart. So it's not the outward appearance of something, even though it has a value and a meaning, but what's really important is what's inside us. And so we need to continually test our heart. Are we right with God? But the Lord, because he's the one, Yahweh, is the one who tests our heart. And if we think about that, in everything we do, we choose. Now, we're sinners. We know we're going to fail, but we should not accept failure. We should, when we recognize that we're going down the wrong path, turn the other way.
So, Gary?
Yes.
And I'm not 100% sure if I'm right on this.
Okay.
I heard this. So, this crucible for silver?
Yeah.
When a silversmith, the way I understand, when they're refining it.
Okay.
Get it to the right temperature, and they can tell the right temperature when they can see their reflection. So if we're being refined by God, when he can see his reflection.
Good
yes,
point. That's good. Yeah. I never thought of it that way, but that's a good.
I was told it as a truth, but I can't.
You can look into it, and you can see.
So when he,
your reflection.
When he knows he's got us purified, when he can see himself in us. In theory.
And that's just with silver, or was it also with gold?
I heard it from silver, but
you heard it about silver.
More research to see if that's actually right.
Well, it's a good thing to look into, because that's a meaning. Silver can be a reflection for us. So. Verse 4. A wicked man listens to evil lips, those speaking bad things. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. So neither of those are good. A wicked man listens to evil lips. In other words, follow those that are wanting you to do evil in their thinking. And a liar, somebody is not a truth teller, a liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. In other words, they feed upon the lie. And so that's a real danger for any of us. If we follow the lie, those who are lying, and try to imitate them, it's bad. So that whole verse is about the wicked and the malicious. Verse 5, he who mocks the poor, don't make fun of the poor, shows contempt for their maker, that's the Lord, Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. So that would, I think, also include even if something happens to a bad, what we would call a bad person, we should not necessarily, you know, glorify that, not to be happy. So I think there's always, we do not want to show any kind of contempt for our Maker, for the Lord. We should not mock the poor, obviously, because they are less successful. And whoever gloats over disaster, I think of all the disasters we've had. And I think in general, most people are really, you know, troubled by the disasters, and therefore seek to be helpful to those that have had disaster. But sometimes I have to be honest. You know, I don't know how this fits, but when Trump made the decision to bomb Iran and wipe out their nuclear potential capability, you know, you might want to cheer and shout, and I probably did that, because that's, in other words, trying to correct a danger that's there. And so I'm not against him doing that by any means, but we need to be careful we don't get too prideful about what we do. It's just a thought that came to my mind. I don't know where I'm at on that, because I think by and large a lot of the decisions that he's made is obviously attempting to move towards peace in the world, but we'll just see how all these come out, because I think God probably has a different plan. We'll see how all this goes. So anyway, I just wanted to comment on that. Verse 6, children's children, in other words, the grandchildren, you know, consider our grandchildren. Children's children are a crown to the aged. And I hope that's the case with all of you that have grandchildren. And parents are the pride of their children. And sometimes that's can be a struggle. So it's when your children, you know, kind of desert you. Verse 7, arrogant lips are unsuited to a fool. So don't have arrogant lips. How much worse lying lips to a ruler? So somebody that's in authority, I think one of the worst things that you can have is somebody in authority that lies. And I know, you know, we may save politicians and so forth, they all lie. And there's probably a little bit of truth to that, but not necessarily. There's some that want to be following the truth, doing as best they can for doing the right thing. So that's a struggle. But we should not have arrogant lips. Verse 8, a bribe is a charm to the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he succeeds. So for the person that thinks they're making headway by giving bribes and getting people to do what they want them to do, and they know it's wrong, a bribe can be a charm. It can draw to the one who gives it, and they keep doing it because it works. And so I think that happens a lot in our culture. Verse 9, he who covers over an offense, covers it up, promotes love. Covers over an offense. So you accept it and try to cover it with love, promotes love. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. So I guess watch what gossiping about a situation, somebody who's committed an offense, I don't know. That's one that I struggle with there a little bit, but I think it's in God's word and it's His word, so we need to heed it. Verse 10, a rebuke impresses a man of discernment. So if somebody rebukes you for what you've said and you know you shouldn't have said it, a rebuke impresses a man of discernment. So if you know you shouldn't have said it and somebody rebukes you, accept it. More than 100 lashes a fool. So it's better to receive it when you know that it was wrong. 11, an evil man is bent only on rebellion. So evil and rebellion are oftentimes synonymous. Evil people rebel. A merciless official will be sent against him. So there's always a consequence to rebellion. And so we see that. And in our society, we know we need to control the bad, deeds and so forth. So I think that's meaningful. Verse 12, better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs, that's a real danger, than a fool in his folly. So comparing going up against a mother bear who's lost her cubs, compare that to being a fool in his folly. So I think it's an interesting catchphrase. Verse 13, if a man pays back evil for good, evil will never leave his house. I think that's basically true. If you always attempt to get back at somebody, and you do it with evil against them, if a man pays back evil for good, evil will never leave his house. It'll be a repeating situation. And so you forgive, you let go, you make it right as best we can. But some people won't accept forgiveness. Verse 14, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. Think about that. Once the dam gets broken,
you can't put it back.
You're right. You can't put it back. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. So drop it. How many times has that been said sometimes? Drop it. Don't keep harping at it. Verse 15, acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. So the Lord is not pleased with acquitting the guilty, but He's also not pleased with condemning the innocent.
But that's what grace really is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's God. Yeah.
We get acquitted and the innocent becomes guilty for us.
Very good. Yeah, that's a way of expressing it. Verse 16, of what use is money in the hand of a fool, since he has no desire to get wisdom? So an accumulation of money or wealth should be used wisely, should be, and not be money in the hand of a fool. You don't want to just cast it away. It should be used wisely, since so it's a warning to those who would just flaunt it and throw it away. Verse 17, a friend loves at all times. Now sometimes that can be tough. If somebody, a friend, has done something to hurt you, harm you, whatever, it's sometimes hard to let go of it. But a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So sometimes in the family, it can be difficult. Verse 18, a man lacking in judgment strikes hands in pledge. A man lacking in judgment strikes hands in pledge and puts up security for his neighbor. I'm not exactly sure what all that and puts up security for his neighbor. So you should always help your neighbor step in to... But the man lacking in judgment strikes hands in pledge against, I guess.
Does that mean don't co-sign along with him?
Could be. It's probably.
That's in here somewhere too.
Is that right? Yeah. So that's a good comment. Verse 19. He who loves a quarrel loves sin. So I guess that's something we need to reflect upon. So don't institute a quarrel. Don't participate in a quarrel in any way. Instead, try to turn it back to correction and love. And then that verse is finished with, he who builds a high gate invites destruction. So if you build a high gate to keep people out or people from seeing what's going on, only invites destruction. And so it's tear down the walls as best you can. Verse 20. A man of perverse heart does not prosper. It's a warning. He whose tongue is deceitful falls into trouble. And both of those are important to reflect upon. And it's hard. It's hard in our sinful nature to not get involved in some of those things. But we know there's consequences for it, and so we need to take heed. Verse 21, to have a fool for a son brings grief. There is no joy for the father of a fool. Yeah, so that's a pretty harsh word, but I think has meaning that we can respond to. Verse 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine. That's good. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. It's not good for your whole body to dries up the bones. Verse 23, a wicked man accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the course of justice. Is that ever true? Yeah. When you deal with cases that can't be resolved, it's like the perversion of justice is all around us a lot of the times. And we see people getting away with things that they shouldn't be, and others that maybe were convicted of. Verse 24, a discerning man keeps wisdom in view. So keeping wisdom, trying to do the right thing, being smart about things, keep it in view. But a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. You can just see all the fools looking around. What can we get away with now? And that's kind of, we see so much of that attitude. Wander to the ends of the earth. A foolish, let's see, verse 25. A foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him. So family issues. Verse 26, it is not good to punish an innocent man or to flog officials for their integrity. So limitation on how you go about proper punishment. Verse 27, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Sometimes restraining on what you say is recognition of being knowledgeable about the situation. And a man of understanding is even tempered. That's, I have to look in the mirror on that one, because sometimes I get a little upset with things and have to watch my, what I do, even temper. And then verse 28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. Yep. And discerning if he holds his tongue. Both of those are true. Even the fool is thought to be wise if he just keeps silent and discerns what to not say, hold his tongue. I think I can get through a little bit of 18 and we'll get as far as we can, and then we'll stop this morning and pick up from where we are. Our chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 1. An unfriendly man pursues selfish ends. He defies all sound judgment. An unfriendly man. So that's, if you have anyone in mind, I guess just pray for them. Verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. I think that's pretty relevant too. Many of us may voice our opinions freely, but maybe we don't have the full understanding of the situation, so we maybe should withhold our opinions sometimes. Verse 3, when wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes disgrace. I guess make of that, you know, as you will. When wickedness comes, so when we're involved and see wickedness all around us, we may become contemptuous. And I agree. You detest the wickedness that is being on display, and you see it on display, and so you maybe speak out against it, you're upset with it, whatever, but can you approach it and maybe make a change, help make a change? Words of wickedness come, so does contempt, and with shame comes disgrace. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Look at those two sources of water. The deep water, the ocean, as deep as you can go into the water, but maybe the bubbling brook is what we should be responding to. Verse 5, it is not good to be partial to the wicked, give them favor, or to deprive the innocent of justice. God is a God of justice. And so justice should always be sought with reason. And so I think that's what I get out of that. Verse 6, a fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. So there can be consequences to being foolish with your mouth. Verse 7, a fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. In other words, the soul is our inner being. It can cause us potentially eternal problems with where we end up. Verse 8, the words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. In other words, digested. But the words of gossip are like choice morsels. So don't allow things to eat at you. Verse 9, one who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. So don't be a slacker, I guess is the message there. Verse 10, the name of the Lord Yahweh is a strong tower. And this is a song, I believe, or words to a song. The righteous run to it and are safe. So that's a good word to have, maybe again, on your mirror or somewhere where you can be reminded of it. The name of the Lord, Yahweh himself, is a strong tower. So run to it. A righteous The righteous run to it and are safe. Verse 11, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall. I think that stands for it on its own. In verse 12, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. Again, an axiom that is important. And let me do two more verses and then we'll stop. He who answers before listening, okay, that is his folly and his shame. So that's meaningful, I think, sometimes. Sometimes we answer before we really listen to the whole situation and respond. Verse 14, a man's spirit sustains him in sickness. So those of you that have gone through some difficult health issues and so forth, sickness, it can be a real trying time. A man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Without the promises of God, without a relationship with God, life would be pretty difficult to go through, because what happens to the people who do not have Christ as their Lord and Savior? It's an eternity of destruction and pain and agony. So anyway, we'll stop there and we'll pick up in the middle of chapter 18 and maybe get close to getting through through Solomon's Proverbs next week. So let's pray as we prepare ourselves for our time of worship and the rest of our day and through the next week and the weeks to come. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word. Sometimes the words kind of strike us personally, and so we need to reflect upon them, and we need to know that it is your word, and we can correct our ways. We can change some things that maybe we know that we're in error on. So Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who you've given us by faith in your Son Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit can prompt us not to speak when we are angry or whatever it might be. And just help us, Lord, to control our emotions and our tempers and what have you. But the word here should speak into our heart and encourage us on our journey and help us with dealing with others and everything that you want us to be your servants and share your word with as many as we can. So Lord, we thank you for the opportunities you give each one of us. Help us not to miss the opportunities that can make a difference. And so now we thank you ahead of time, Lord, for our time of worship. We pray for each part of our worship service. We thank you for what we will experience in our worship service. We ask for a blessing upon people who may come into this place, maybe some even for the first time. And Lord, we welcome those who maybe have never come to our church to come and taste and to experience and come to hear the word, because Lord, you've called us to teach and preach the word of God in its truth and purity. And so I thank you for the opportunities you give us, and I just pray that in our worship service that those who come will hear a message and a word, whether it be in song, whether it be in prayer, whether it be in scripture, whether it be in Raymond's message this day. So we ask for a blessing on each part of our worship service, and we just ask for your guidance and direction in each of our lives, even as we leave this place today and go back out into the world and receive the opportunities that you put before us, that we don't miss the opportunities that you put in front of us. So we thank you, Lord, for all that you do, and we just ask for a blessing on this day and the week and days to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.